A new report from the National Wildlife Federation tackles the issue of tar sands oil moving through the Great Lakes region, mainly through an extensive network of pipelines. It's been a growing industry in recent years and is poised to get bigger, and that's got our next guest concerned.
He says these pipelines and proposed new ones in the region could seriously jeopardize our natural areas and wildlife in the event of a spill or explosion. He's calling for a closer look into the industry and what's at stake before the worst happens.
Joining us now is Jim Murphy. He's senior counsel at the National Wildlife Federation's Climate and Energy Program and the lead author of the new report, Pipeline Peril, Tar Sands Expansion and the Threat of Wildlife in the Great Lakes Region. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a little bit of 101 on what exactly tar sands oil is. Can you describe it for us?
Well, it's unlike conventional oil. It's basically comes from primarily northern Alberta, and it's a like its name, it's a tar-like substance that is mixed in with sand deposits in northern Alberta. And unlike conventional oil, which is liquid and can be usually pumped up from the ground, this either has to be strip mined or it has to be basically gotten from deep deposits by injecting a steam into the earth that essentially cooks the asphalt-like substance and then allows it to be pumped to the surface. So it's a very thick, it's very gooey, it's very dirty, it's very impure. It's very unlike the type of oil that you think of when you think of oil. And as a result, it presents a lot of pollution problems that regular oil doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those for a little bit. You say it poses a threat to the Great Lakes region. What threats specifically are you worried about?
Well, there's a few threats. One is the threat of spills. As we saw in the 2010 disaster in Marshall, Michigan, when a tar sands pipeline burst and spilt about a million gallons of tar sands crude into eventually the Kalamazoo River. This substance does not behave like regular oil when it spills. It's heavy, it sinks to the bottom, it attaches itself to the ecosystem, to the bottom of streams and wetlands. 4 years after that spill, there are still significant portions of a 40-mile stretch of the Kalamazoo River that have not been cleaned up and probably will not be cleaned up. So it's a very difficult substance when it spills. It's very polluting when it spills. Another major impact is the carbon pollution or the climate impact. Because it's so particularly energy intensive to extract, it takes an incredible amount of natural gas and energy just to get it out of the ground and to process it. From the time it's extracted to the time it's burnt in the fuel tank of a car or plane, it's somewhere between about 17 and close to 40% more carbon polluting than regular oil. And at a time when we're seeing warmer summers, when we're seeing more floods and droughts that are causing things like toxic algae blooms in the Great Lakes, we really need to be going in the other direction in terms of the carbon intensity of our energy. We need to be moving towards cleaner sources, and this is a far dirtier source. And another problem is when it's refined, it's also a much dirtier product to refine. And the Great Lakes area has several refineries that currently process this fuel. And what we're seeing at those refineries is that there are more air pollutants being introduced into the air. And it also has a byproduct called petroleum coke, which is kind of a dusty coal-like substance that is piling up next to these refineries. And it's causing big problems for area rivers where it's blowing, the dust is blowing into those rivers. And also the dust is causing serious problems for the residents near that area. So it's a much more polluting fuel, and it poses risks to areas that are impacted by its transport.
You are listing quite a few, troubling details about this tar sands oil, but I have to ask, why is it so far a somewhat attractive resource option as opposed to petroleum or other less concerning resources and green resources?
Well, I think the biggest reason that we shouldn't, I mean, there's several reasons that it should be something that we should shy away from. For one, we're really at a point in time where the impacts of climate change are very well known. They are...
what I'm asking is, why is there a demand for this type of oil?
Well, there's a demand for oil, period. There's a lot of money to be made, there are some very powerful industries that see this as an enormous resource for generating profit. You've got some of the biggest players like Exxon and Suncor, all looking at this as a large deposit of money, frankly. And you have the Canadian government right now, which is very pro-industry, promoting this as a friendly, neighborly fuel when it's really anything but. So, there's a lot of money behind tar sands to be made, and that's really, I think, what's driving the push.
So what pipelines are already up and functioning, and where are the expansions projected to be in the region?
Well, the primary pipeline is a pipeline called Alberta Clipper, which is bringing tar sands into the Midwest region. And right now it's bringing it at a capacity of about 500,000 barrels per day. And the industry wants to double and perhaps triple that amount through expanding that line and also putting in a new line along the right-of-way of Alberta Clipper. In terms of Wisconsin, there's a large line called the Southern Access Pipeline, which moves from Superior, Wisconsin, which is where Alberta Clipper terminates, down to Flanagan, Illinois, where it can connect with a pipeline that would move it to the Gulf Coast, basically mimicking the route of the Keystone XL pipeline. That line through Wisconsin has the ability to carry about 1.2 million barrels per day, which makes it a very, very large pipeline. For comparison, the Keystone XL pipeline only has a carrying capacity of 830,000 barrels per day.
And a big part of your report focuses on the threat to wildlife here. What are some of the specific species that you think might be at risk in Wisconsin?
There's species like the endangered carnal blue butterfly. There are some whooping crane populations that move through Wisconsin that are at risk. And then it's more common species like ducks, goldeneye, terns, lynx, wolves in northern Wisconsin. Any animal that could come in contact with a spill area. What we saw with the Kalamazoo spill was that thousands of wildlife were impacted, and there was a very, very high mortality rate, particularly among mammals. It was close to 70% and about 25% among birds. So if there is a spill, and really I think when this stuff moves, it's more a question of when than if, all those wildlife will be impacted. And then there's the impacts of climate change to wildlife, which are causing disruption throughout the Great Lakes. We're really seeing warmer temperatures, more algae blooms, and as a result, certain fisheries are crashing, and waters are becoming less hospitable to species like trout.
In our last 30 seconds here, what's the alternative that you're proposing instead?
Well, the biggest thing is we don't need this fuel. There, certainly in the short term, all our demand can be met by cleaner fuel sources, and that includes cleaner fossil fuels. But because we have the luxury of not needing this, what we need to do is when you make infrastructure investments, they're really very long term. And the question for the Great Lakes region, I think, really the nation, is: are we going to invest in the type of infrastructure that brings us to cleaner, responsible, wildlife-friendly fuels that don't have the carbon impacts, that don't have the spill risks, Or are we going to lock ourselves into, you know, 50 to 100 years of tar sands production? And
well,
I think,
Jim, I will have
I
to leave
that's
it.
That's an easy choice.
Jim, thank you so much. We'll have to leave it there. Jim Murphy is the senior counsel for the National Wildlife Federation's Climate and Energy Program, and he's the lead author of the new report, Pipeline Peril: Tar Sands Expansion and the Threat of Wildlife in the Great Lakes Region.